continue the strong women conversation on KEXE, KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. I recently had a chance to sit down with a woman who made history in the Grand Rapids area, the youngest person ever to sit on the Grand Rapids City Council, Tasha Connolly. She grew up in the Grand Rapids area. She left for education and a career, but made a choice to come back to work in the field of counseling and mental health and to raise a family. What made you want to run for office?
Well, I didn't wake up one morning thinking that I was going to do that, run, you know, be on the city council. It started with somebody seeing something in me that I didn't necessarily see in myself.
What did they see?
I think they saw the capacity to be able to lead and to communicate and be in touch with people. And at that time in my life, I was literally in the midst of having children. I had a 2-year-old and a 2.5-year-old and a baby, and so I was very consumed with them, as I feel like I should have been. And so to have somebody suggest to me that I also at the same time, you know, possess these strengths, I was like, I wasn't quite ready for that. But it did something to me. It kind of sowed a seed, right? I said, okay, thank you for letting me know and for seeing something in me. I didn't, it was Kathleen Blake, who, you know, is a local community organizer, and she's another one who I would chalk up as for sure a mentor and just a source, a pillar of strength and wisdom. And we just had a conversation. And she just said, well, think about it. You know, think about how you want to show up here. Because we had just moved to town. That was the other thing, is had a baby 6 months earlier, had a 2.5-year-old, just felt like I was trying to figure out who I was going to be here, what I was going to be doing. So I sat with that for a little while, and honestly, it never went away. People, opportunities, resources just kept showing up, like it just kept nudging. And it's important to just acknowledge that sometimes these things don't happen quickly. So that conversation happened, and then, you know, we started to get our, you know, just kind of settle into this community. And I had an opportunity to apply for a scholarship to attend a national conference for women who are considering or are currently in political leadership. I got it. And so it was going to be at a minimal cost to me. I said, well, I guess I better go. And so when I went to this national convening of women around, you know, the United States who are currently in political leadership in particular, my world was rocked. Up until that point, I hadn't really seen women in those positions. I knew that they were out there, but I hadn't seen them all in one room. And then I was like, okay, we're going to be doing this. That moment, and in that conference, like, I met women from rural Minnesota. Nevada Little Wolf was, I just so happened to be in a breakout session that she was leading. And I thought, well, Nevada in Virginia, we probably should talk.
She was also the youngest person on the city council, yes. Virginia City Council, now leading Tawahi Foundation, yes, in Twin Cities.
I appreciated hearing from her because I felt like, you know, the women from out east and out west, you know, they could tell about their story, but, you know, Nevada spoke to, like, you know, rural Minnesota and the things that are challenges here that maybe aren't a challenge in Boston. I felt like, wow, there's Nevada, and she did it. What happened also is that we talked really realistically that this isn't easy work. You want to do this, you're gonna be vulnerable to some things. And if you have a family, there are going to be challenges. It was good to name those things up front because those are real. That, to me, was the part where I was like, okay, they're out there, and I need to be a part of it. It kind of stepped up the pace of which I thought this needed to happen.
You're listening to our Strong Women series on KEXE, KBXE. We're talking with Tasha Connolly today. She currently serves on the Grand Rapids City Council. Well, let's talk in particular about something that was I think it was history in the making, if I remember right, the city of Grand Rapids and the water quality and Enbridge energy and the pipeline, whether or not a new pipeline or replacing an old pipeline, there were issues going on, and the pipeline goes throughout our state. And so this is a thing that a lot of city councils or bodies of government may have to deal with. Grand Rapids, though, made a little history there. Tell us about it.
They did.
Yeah.
that's what I've been reading anyway.
Well, I think you had something to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, it really takes a village, so I don't want to say that it was all something I did. But, you know, in the same breath, it started with something I did. You know, about a year ago, there was a public meeting on the draft EIS of the proposed route for Enbridge Line 3. And I went there just as, you know, wanting to see what people had to say. I didn't know. I mean, I honestly showed up there just being curious, which I recommend to everybody. And I sat through, I think it was 3 hours, of public comment from people from around the region, and it was wonderful. Everybody had something to say, and I feel like it was a beautiful process. I felt like everybody was heard. So at the end of that, I was still curious about how it was going to affect our community in particular, because they were talking a lot about abandonment, which does impact our community. They were also talking about the proposed line, the new route, which was not suggested through our community. So I just had this question silently. And so I went back to some maps that were laid out by the Minnesota Department of Commerce that had the lines and just, you know, showed our city, and looked at it, and I took some pictures with my phone and just said, okay, well, there's the line, and, you know, there's a lot of different topographies, and the keys and legends have things that I don't even know what it means, but I'm going to figure it out because it's running through my city and a lot of people are passionate about it. I probably should figure out what's going on. And so I went home and then I read reports and I thought, okay, this might be something we should take a look at. So I drafted a letter based on the information that was all public and the information that was provided in the maps, and just submitted it to the council to see if the council was in support of having further conversations about what we want to do with abandonment of Line 3. It really was driven by the fact that in our comprehensive plan, we say what we're going to do to protect our water. It's policy that was made by the people in 2011, 2003. We make comprehensive plans that everybody gets to contribute to, and they say water's important here. And I'm oversimplifying what this plan lays out. It's very detailed about how we're going to do that and why that's important. And so what happened is, after that letter was submitted and, you know, supported by the council, Enbridge came, and then we started to have conversations. You know, we have a wonderful, knowledgeable, I can't say enough great things about our wellhead protection team, that's their whole job, to make sure that our water is safe. You know, I learned a lot of things. I tried not to get too bogged down by all the technical information, because that's not my wheelhouse, but I appreciate people who that is their expertise, and that I want people to know that we have people in our community who advocate for that, to make sure that our wellhead protection area stays protected. So this provided an opportunity for us to address and make sure that our 6 wells in this very vulnerable area were going to be protected. And so, for example, I learned that through this area, you know, we supply over 11,000 people with their drinking water. And this is a highly sensitive area. Every once in a while, I hear people say that Grand Rapids is, you know, a model of, you know, how other people, like, they're watching what happens here.
What was the history that was made?
What the agreement was is that we agreed to where the line will be removed, you know, where it's actually feasible to do so, where it won't compromise other lines, or, you know, it's not under a house, or, you know, whatever, some sort of structure where future economic development can take place. So there was an agreement to, you know, where the lines would be removed, And then there's going to be soil boring testing. There will be samples taken, and if contamination is found, then, you know, of course it has to be reported. But then what are we gonna, we're gonna do something about that line, whether, you know, it needs to be fully removed or all those specifications are laid out. But really what's different about it is that the conversation happened before something catastrophic. So we're being proactive here. That's a really good thing. Like, we don't want to react to something serious. Let's catch some things on the front end. And I think that's what's different, is we're having those conversations not reactively. That's what people are watching. Like, how do you do that?
So does that mean if there is some contamination, does that mean Enbridge will not abandon the line near the water supply? Or does the city pay for that? Or how?
No.
That's what's different, right?
So that's all those specifications are laid out in the agreement. I think that report is going to be done, should be in June. And so we will know, like, so when there's contamination, it has to be reported to the state. And then there is process for how you mitigate whatever damage has been done. Honestly, I couldn't tell you right now, like, what that's going to look like, because we have to see. But I do know that they have agreed to, you know, removal in certain areas. And I didn't bring the maps. They agreed to things that what I'm hearing to is kind of a big deal.
That's Tasha Conley. She's featured on Strong Women, KEXE, KBXE. She went on to talk about one of the biggest issues she hears about as a Grand Rapids City Council member.
You know, we're working on this Civic Center expansion project. And, you know, part of that expansion project has to do with the needs that we have in this community. Everything has to be driven by policy, but we know, for example, we have a daycare shortage. The whole state does, right? And I know this has happened to numerous people, but our decision to move here when it happened was based on childcare. We knew in 2010 that childcare was an issue here. So, like, when we had our child and we were living in the cities, we got on a waiting list. Because we didn't know when we were going to be up here, but we knew we needed to. So we got on a waiting list, and I'm not kidding that we would call and check and see kind of where we were at in the line. Okay, a year, 2 years, three, you know. Or as we found out, we were getting closer to being accepted into this child care agency. We said, well, we got to move now because we got child care, and we hope we can find jobs too. So we moved up here based on the fact that we had secure childcare. And then, I mean, it was a good thing that my job transferred to International Falls. I was commuting, and I was like, okay, well, now we need to find work a little closer. But we were lucky because we knew to some degree that we needed to get on it with the childcare. There are some people who don't know, who move here, take jobs, and see how difficult it is and have to leave. If we want young families to come here and make this their community, then we need to have these resources available to them. I just am really excited that we are able to at least have these conversations, and that there's certainly an appetite for it. People are loud and clear in our community about the lack of childcare, and they want to stay here and don't feel like they can. The cool thing about referendums, people decide. Mm-hmm. You make some decisions, but really it's up to the people.
That's Tasha Connolly. For more Strong Women conversations, go to kexe.org. This conversation made possible in part by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the Citizens of Minnesota. If you know a strong woman we should be talking to, send us an email, comments@kexe.org.